unsigned 518. I am here with the William Duell Band. And I guess what we'll do is we'll start over here to my left and just introduce yourself and what you do in the band.
All right. How's everyone doing? My name is Bernie Durfee. I play bass in the band. Been with the band for a little over a year now, right? A little over a year. Joined and on a couple songs that are out and coming out. So yeah, bass player, stander, arounder. Try and move a little bit, and you know, just keep my fingers moving. That's it.
I'm William Duell. We named the band. I named the band after my name. I'm the guitar player, songwriter, and vocalist. When I first started the band, it was only me. And I was writing songs, so that's why it's named the William Duell Band, because there was nobody else in the band. But I was playing all the different instruments, so I had to give it a band name, therefore the explanation as to why I use my name.
I'm Chris Reed. I play drums.
All right, short and sweet.
Chris is also also records all our music and mixes all our music.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
And he also owns the Glens Falls Music Academy.
Oh, no way.
And he also does sound at the Park Theater. Okay. And he also does sound at the Wood.
Yeah. And the drums.
And the drums.
And you're like, play the drums. Yeah. So I guess what we want to do, you know, we were talking a little bit before we got rolling. You know, clearly it's a story behind every band, but I guess we want to go... And William, if you want to take the lead on it, kind of tell the story of how it evolved from a one-man band to what it is today.
It's kind of a complicated story, but the shortish version of it is my mom died of cancer 10, 12 years ago, and then my grandmother died of cancer, and then I was going through all these different things. I used to be I trained racehorses for a living. That's what I did for over 20 years. I rode and trained thoroughbred racehorses. And then my best friend died. And it was kind of an ugly situation, and I got very depressed. And I had never played, I had played drums in a band in high school. And then after high school, I didn't play anything at all. When this happened, I was just sitting on my couch playing this $20 acoustic guitar that wouldn't stay in tune, and just teaching myself to play, and in the process just started writing some very simple songs and putting them on the computer onto, what is it I use?
You were using GarageBand.
Yeah, GarageBand, right?
And just putting your wife's laptop.
Right, on the Mac.
This goes record. I'm going to use
Yeah, and it was just like, oh, wow, that doesn't sound bad, and I was going through this whole thing, and I was just sitting there strumming. And anyone who's been depressed knows that's kind of what you do. You just kind of exist for a little while. And it just really seemed to help me. It helped me a lot. And I took these tapes that I had, these CDs I made of these very simple songs, and I took them to Chris in Glens Falls. And I said, my initial thing was to just work them up and see if I could get them to sound better. Chris convinced me that they were worth working on. And that's when I started working with Chris at the Glens Falls Music Academy and made my first record, which was an LP, which was 8 songs. I played everything on it, including bass. I'd never played a bass before. Anyway, I wrote all the songs, did all the vocals. I had one friend of mine from high school, a very good friend of mine, that played in my high school band and worked on a couple tracks on guitar. And those songs actually did very well. They actually went to number one on some internet radio stations. The first song I wrote went to number one.
Wow.
Well, don't forget, you got to give Tim Cook credit for drums.
Yeah, I was using Apple drums. Apple drums.
That confused me first. I was like, why does that name sound familiar?
Apple drums, yeah. You know, I mean, because that's... I did play drums, but in the process of teaching myself guitar, I couldn't go back to drums again. You know, I mean, one thing at a time. And then, actually, I did. I was going to play drums, and I had asked Chris to play drums on some of the records. And he was kind of like, I want to be in the control room. I went out and bought a drum set and started playing drums again. I went in to do a track, and it was so bad, he went in and did it, and he's been playing drums for us ever since.
I was like, was that like 6 years ago or something?
Yeah, it was 5, 6 years ago. It was like, it's hard to find people to play, to have time, and to, especially as you get older, everybody's got children or things to do or other, you know, whatever it might be, and to try and lock it down. So it took me a while to get everything kind of locked down. I did, you know, I went through some bass players before we got to Bernie. Jason Brown, who owns Starling Studios.
Who was just on my on the podcast, sitting right where you're sitting. He was here 2 weeks ago.
His Jason episode was doing all our mastering. And Jason played bass on my second LP, Moment in Time. He played all the bass parts.
Okay.
I know Jason through his father. My wife works at Skidmore. I know her father, who was in the music department, and that's how I met Jason, and he has his own thing. And I'm not currently using him now. He went on to a big podcast that he was doing, and he didn't, and that worked out kind of, because we have Jack Endino doing our mastering now of Nirvana.
Oh, all right.
Pearl Jam, and all those guys.
That guy.
Yeah. So he's doing all our mastering. How did I get him?
Yeah.
I just called him.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Jack.
Right? I'm not kidding.
Hey,
I just
what's happening?
And he was very one of the nicest people in the music business I've ever met in my life, and work. He's just wonderful with me. Wonderful.
And you just called him.
I sent him a note, and he sent me back. He won't work on anything unless he hears something you've done previously.
Okay.
And I sent him two of our songs off, and he was like, "Yeah, no problem. Send them right over." So every time so I lost Jason, but I gained Jack Endino.
Wow.
He actually wanted us to go out and record.
Yeah.
In Seattle, but it's just so much money to go out.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
we wanted to, but and then we were thinking about bringing him here.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd probably be cheaper.
Yeah, it'd be cheaper to bring him here. You know, I don't know if he'd ever be interested in something like that. He's very, very busy. But it's weird when you call him up and he's with Barrett Martin or, you know, someone famous. You know, it's pretty cool. I've been very blessed. I have a lot of contacts. I met Don Was for a number of days. My wife spent like a week with him at Skidmore. I got to hang out with him. I got to
you know what's funny is the name, because I remember when he had that band
Was Not Was,
right,
the 80s.
And, yeah and I like it literally just dawned on me that that's why it had the Not Was next to it, is because people pronounce his name wrong.
Right, literally just hit me right
this fucking second.
Right, awesome. Another wonderful guy, really great guy though. Working with the Stones and everything. He's really cool. And then I got to jam with Max Weinberg.
Really?
Yeah. Fronted his band with the Weaklings.
And for those that don't know, I mean, obviously, like, some people would know. What, was he on Conan?
He was on Conan,
but he's part of the E Street Band.
He's the drummer for Bruce Springsteen.
And his son just left, but his son was the drummer for Slipknot for a period of time. Yeah.
So that was cool. So I've, through my contracts, I've been able to, you know, do pretty well, meet some people. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, now I'm like, I'm at William Duell.
So. Not many people say that. It's usually a different reaction.
So at this point, you know, like we've been talking about the songs and certainly the accolades they've gotten and the notice they've gotten. We should probably hear one of them, right?
Sure.
Which one do you want to play?
This is our new single. It's called Carry Us On.
Carry Us On. You want to tell the folks a little bit about it?
It's just a feel-good kind of song for a change. It's about feeling good about the future and nothing but positive vibes moving forward kind of thing. I've had so many. A lot of my songs can be, they don't sound it, but they're a little bit dark.
They're a little bit dark.
Yeah. you know, like I
it's
write
good, it's good contrast.
But I'm manic. Quite frankly, I write best like if something's upset me.
Right.
You know, like that's when I write. If I when things are going well, I don't write worth
it. Yep.
You know, but piss me off or make me upset, I'll start writing. Yeah. You know, and that's because that's what I love to do. So, you know, that's Carry Us On is just a song that's instead of being down here is a little more uplifting, and people really seem to like it. We've done really. I mean, I don't do a lot of promotional work for Spotify or, you know, on social media. I'm an old guy and I don't know how to do half of it. I screw half of it up. But this song, we went from having like 40 people follow us monthly to listeners to It's almost to 800.
Yeah, it was six something.
It was 748 last time I looked.
Then it went up.
It's just like it's if you look at the graph, it's like and it goes straight up. So we hit something with it. It's not a real complicated song. Chris could tell you more about the song because he mixed it and recorded it. So I always kind of defer to him when it comes to the musical. Both of these guys, I'm not trained. Half the chords that I play, I don't even know what they are. I know what they sound like.
I get it.
You know, I've never been taught by anybody. Nobody's ever showed me anything. So I just go by ear and try and figure it out. But these, mainly Chris and Bernie, is much better than I am from a technical aspect, so he could tell you more about it.
Yeah, you'd like it. It's a straight eighth, 80s. Cars sort of
carry us on.
Nirvana. It's got that bridge. Very like clean. Yeah, it's a cool song to play.
Cool. All right, well, let's check it out. It's Carry Us On, William Dual Band, and then we'll be right back.
Got a good excuse in my back pocket. Let the north wind blow us away. Yeah, baby. Like the Gulf Stream on its way. Yeah, carry us on. Yeah, carry us on. Oh, I can't decide. The things I love, baby, right on time. Oh, don't you know? This is everything I was hoping for. Let the north wind blow us away. Yeah, baby. Like the Gulf Stream on its way. Yeah, carry us on. Can't decide all the things I love, baby, right on time. Oh, don't you know? This is everything I was hoping for. Let the north wind blow us away. Yeah, baby. Like the Gulf Stream on its way. Yeah, carry us on.
So that was Carry Us On, William Dual Band, and that one is currently out and available as a single, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And that is going to be on a record that's coming out soon-ish.
In the fall, or I'd say late fall.
Okay, and that, there's other songs, obviously, like, basically, how far along is that album?
Three songs in the can now. We're taking the entire month of August off.
Nice.
It's for family and catching up, and it's hot, yeah. And nobody wants to do anything.
You can't get anyone to show up to anything.
Yeah. So we just made a decision of like, Bernie's going to
Spain. Yeah, I'm going on vacation finally, taking some time off.
Yeah, and Chris has always got a million things to do with mixing and things like that.
Well, we've played all the songs, I think, at open mics and stuff.
Yeah, we have.
At least once. Yeah. Everything's there. The music's done. Like, we've recorded parts of it.
And we have a couple more to go that we, like My Oh My, we have a song called My Oh My that we still have to record. And we've been rehearsing it, and that's basically what we've been doing is working on studio stuff.
Right.
It works into our time frame. Yep. We practice every week. not necessarily for gigs, but to work through our songs that we want to put on the record. You know, I mean, like, you know how they change, you know, oh, that worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, oh, that didn't work, you know.
Or like, you know, if you started out with like an acoustic guitar, just getting like some chord structure, and then you bring other people in, mm-hmm. they're like, well, what if we did this instead? And you're well, like, that sounds like, you know.
We
like,
get a lot
change,
of that.
Right?
We yeah. get a lot.
Yeah.
Try this tuning.
Chris always has a look of like, this needs something else.
Yeah. And it gets like, right. it. And that's yeah. and it's awesome that he's got that ear to do that, because I don't.
And so when, you know, you were saying like it started out, William, just you were writing the songs. And like now that, you know, you're a band, like has that how has that changed the songwriting?
I still bring the songs to the band, but they're free to play whatever they want to play.
Okay.
It's not, I don't come in and say, oh, it goes like, it's more of a framework, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just kind of does their thing, and that's why we practice so much. It's just on pace and little licks and things like that, and just working those things out. How many songs have you put out where 2 years later you go, oh God, I wish we had just stopped there. We should have stopped that, you know, or done that. And then,
that's a hard thing, like with songwriting, to be like, all
right,
it's done.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Now move on to something
right.
else.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty good with that, though. Chris will tell you when I think it's done, I'll say. I think it's done.
Yeah, but in a general sense, I'd say grass doesn't grow under Bill's feet. So, when he's, here's this, all right, that's that. Next tune.
Here's a new one I just wrote two days ago.
I think, stuff just goes, so that's great. Gravel Road is a song that now I think sounds much more kind of blues bar kind of, I don't know, just a little more rock and a little more edgy. But that came out on the first record and was much more laid back, much more like, I don't know, kind of yacht rock's probably not the right term at all. But like, it was way more subdued, and now it's much more like yow.
Yeah, those are the changes that we do like during rehearsals and stuff, is we play different tempos, we play some harder, because a lot of the, and this is like the hard part being a three piece, is a lot of what Bill does is on the albums is going to be acoustic layering and all sorts of stuff and leads and stuff, but as a three piece we have to simplify it, and so a lot of times then it becomes a little bit harder, a little bit more aggressive to try and fill in all that space, which is fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. But if you're listening to the album, then you go see it live. It's like
it's hard to cover all that.
But you know, I always like, because I'm the same way. Like, you know, I'm 51 now, and like our band started when I was 47 or 48. So like that's when like was the first original band that I was in. And when we first started recording, I was like, you know, it's very important that like what we put down can be emulated live.
Yep.
And our producer basically explained like, no.
Right.
Like that's not how this works. Yeah. Like right. He was like, you know, the recording is a structured, composed, layered thing that you take your time with and you fill in. You know, playing live is something different, and if they don't necessarily match, then it's not that, you know, it's
I'm not sure Elton John, you can put 80 people on the stage to do everything.
Right. Or like even like in our song, you know, it's a first song was a three chord song, but like the tambourines and the hand claps and like oohs and ahs and layer and shit that you don't even think of. He called it the salt and pepper.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the salt and pepper stuff. That's what makes, you know, so like it is interesting thinking of that. Like we're a three piece, but when you're in the studio, you can be a 80 piece if you wanted to, you know?
Well, like, and a lot of times we do layer a lot of guitars, you know, for, and you want to fill that sound and get it for that radio or Spotify or listener to have that. That's what we strive for. That's what I think right now, where we are right now, is we strive for the best studio sound we can get and to do these songs as well as we can do them.
It's like a movie and a play. You know, a play, you have the limitations of this is what we have.
Right.
You know, we're live or in front of an audience. We have this. But the movie, you can take several takes and you can pick the perfect one.
Right.
And you can, you know.
Right. And, you hear all the differences of tape to Pro Tools.
Right.
You know, and I think that Pro Tools takes a big hit sometimes because it does enable you to go and do it right.
Or to like be like, oh, that take was really good except for that one word.
You coughed at the end or something.
Fucking on one of our songs, I literally filled in a word over the phone. I got a phone call from the producer, and I was here, and he was like, you know, listen, like as I'm going through, he's like, just, you know, you kind of slurred, like it sounded a little like, you know, it wasn't sharp, it wasn't enunciated. Can you just say the word "don't"? And he goes, just say it now. And then I go, "don't." And he goes, "perfect.
Right. See ya.
Bye." And he spliced that into the song. And I was like, what?
He's not having to cut any tape.
Back when, you know, cut and paste literally meant, like when I was in radio, and when I first started radio, like to edit commercials, it was a razor blade and a reel-to-reel tape. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, you had to literally cut.
So you know how to do it, then.
I do know how to do it, yeah.
Not many people do.
Yeah, there's no reason to anymore. Right. But, but it made, when the switch to digital happened, I was like a whiz at it immediately because I'm like, oh, this is, I don't have to be physically nimble. I can just press this button and do it. And if I fuck up, I don't have to break up the Scotch tape. And I can just hit Control Z and it's gone.
Right. You know? Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's I enjoy having it. You know, I mean, there's an aspect of the old school stuff that I did initially, I think, come in with. I wanted to do everything live. I didn't want anything overdubbed. And Chris was like, wait a minute. That's not how this goes.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know. You know, I'm coming from like being a garage band. I mean, we literally played in garages.
You're literally in a garage right now.
Right. You know, I mean, like, you know, I lived part of the term growing up.
Yeah.
You know,
we're the same way. Like, we focus very much on like our live thing. Yeah. And, like, but the studio's a different beast.
It is.
And like, you have to like, leave it to the professionals or the people that, you know, when you're in their realm.
Well, I try to do that. I'm not trying to do it myself.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're using best people we
can. If I had to do it ourselves, holy shit.
Mixing might be a little off, right? What's this in my right ear that's pounding?
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm just like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
I do run into that a lot with clients in a general sense. Like, you get somebody coming into the studio that talks a lot about being true and real, and that, you know, everything that recorded audio has come to be is like an affront to their sensibilities because it's lie, you know. And I'm like, okay. And then 9 times out of 10, maybe 9.9 times out of 10, we do what they want.
Yeah.
They listen back and they're like, why is it so weak? And, you know, like, I'm like,
it's because you made the decision.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like I can press a space bar and make it go, but like this is what you put in. Like, do you want some suggestions? Like, what are you going for? What are you trying to sound like?
Right.
Like, I want so and so with this thing. You know, and oftentimes I'm familiar with the record and the process of it, and I'm like, yeah, you aren't even close. Like, you don't know how much falsehood is in the truth that you are referencing, you know, and you can look at it that way and get kind of kick in the dirt and depressive about it, it's a, you know, how long, how many times did, you know, Da Vinci like paint over something to fix a little, you know, like it's different. It's a moment that is there for all time in one way. Live performance is not. Live performance is seat of your pants right this second, and in 5 minutes you can play the same song again, but it's not gonna be the same moment.
Right.
So those are inherently two different things, and people, I think, make the mystake of equating them to be.
I 100% made that mistake.
Yeah, I did too.
Well, I did too. And there's even sometimes like a song that he'll start on guitar now, and I'm like, that's, I think the drums start that one, and I'm like, that doesn't matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter. Because
right now, this is how it starts.
Yeah. Recorded music is a lie. Like, spoiler alert.
Right,
like, the first time I learned about like doubling guitars, I'm like, holy shit. Oh, that's how you get that.
Vocals,
you get that sound. And then once you learn it and you start to hear it and you listen, even back in the Beatles, like, they harmonized everything. Like,
well, they doubled all John Lennon's.
Oh yeah, like vocals, you can, and then you can hear it and you're like, oh, I see why his voice is so ridiculously thick.
Seven of them, you know?
I saw where Butch Vig was always arguing with Cobain.
Yeah.
He didn't want to double anything. Right. Yeah. And he's like, well, John Lennon did it. Mm-hmm. John Lennon did it. And he's like, they would just go down. Yeah.
And they used Dave Grohl to double a lot of the
Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Back
yeah.
in the
yeah.
early days.
It's just yeah. the way it works. It's yeah. what you hear.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
It is. And some, like, my voice lends itself, I think, well to doubling.
Yeah.
But I generally can sing the same thing twice.
Right.
You know, like where some people struggle, I could be.
No, yeah, because if you're double and it's the exact same thing, then it's not going to work as well. Like the doubling has to have like a slight a bit, yeah, nuance yeah. in order to like fill that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should probably play another tune. So
okay.
What song are we going to play now?
We'll play the single that was before this single called Holding On.
Holding On.
And that was the first song we had Jack Endino do for us.
Nice.
So he did that one, and he just did Carry Us On, and he will do the EP or LP as well when Chris is done doing his stuff.
Nice. And so this one's out. And
this is out. This is out about 6 months ago.
Sweet.
You know, so I was going to put that on this record as well. Jack Endino actually wanted me to, but it's from a different year. And I just might leave it alone. You know, I didn't even talk to these guys. You know, that might be on it too at the end. We might just only because CDs, even though they're out of stock, they're permanent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I heard this the other day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you could. It's a something for safekeeping. Who was it? It was Billy Corrigan.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying, yeah, I still make records and CDs because I have them.
Right.
He's like, those files could disappear tomorrow. He goes, on anyone's computer or whatever, they're not necessarily permanent. So if you want a permanent record of what you've done, you put it on something.
Yeah.
You know,
physical.
So, right. And you know, so that was my logic. And yeah. I don't know. It does a whole separate subject.
Yeah.
I like putting out records, but what's the sense?
Right.
That you submit them one song at a time as singles to radio stations or wherever it's going to go.
And they go in playlists anyways.
Yeah. And it's presented as a single. So we're making these LPs. But we're releasing them as singles anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just the way, sometimes just it's
we're
like
just old. I'm just
it's like
old.
Instinct.
I like the cover. I mean? I like the credits on the back. You know.
Yeah. I mean, ours that we're coming out with, there's no reason to do it. But I'm like, I kind of want to do a small run of CDs.
Yeah.
Like,
get 100 of them.
I want to make artwork.
Get some
artwork.
Right.
So I want to like, you know.
It's just fun. You got it in your hand and you're like, there it is. And like, I listen to, like, I don't listen to play, I listen to albums still. Like,
I mean,
if I'm going to put on a song.
Whole vinyl collection that I still buy new, I buy current shit on vinyl.
And yeah, listen to it. Like, it's a, you know. Cohesive.
I wish it wasn't so expensive to do. We'd,
Me too.
We'd try
Fucking
some.
Records are $30 a piece for like. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's good
man.
For merch though. Even all the big bands are doing records now with custom coloring and all that stuff.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because it's you
I
can
get a couple variants.
You can upsell it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. All right. Well, what was the name of the song?
Holding On.
Holding On.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to Holding On, William Dual Band. We'll be right back to wrap it up.
Yeah, I'm just sitting down by the river. Yeah, watching it. Staring at the mountains as far as I could see. The leaves are changing, bringing out the best in me. Am I holding on? Life, it sure is changing. But sometimes I can't take it. Feels like I'm holding the back. Am I holding on? Am I holding on?
Holding On, William Dual Band. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day and coming out here and talking to me. Really appreciate it. And before we go, like I do with all my guests, I just want to give you a chance to each say your gratitude. So microphone's all yours.
I will definitely thank my wife and my kids for supporting me, listening to lots of loud noises, and as my kids call it, the beebledy boop, and and all the other random stuff I play and practice.
When you're not around.
Yeah. No, they call it right to my face. They're like, oh, you're playing beebledy boop again. All right. Yeah, sure. So yeah, definitely my wife. She has supported me through lots of random music stuff. She's actually done a little bit of vocals on some of my really old stuff. And then my really good friends, brothers from another mother, Keith and Chris. We were in a band together. I played drums, or just Chris played drums on some of my stuff, and we played for years and years, and those guys were huge influences on my life, getting me to where I am. So for sure, those guys, love them.
I want to thank these guys to start off with, the guys in my band, for tolerating me in my crazy thoughts and everything else. My wife as well. My wife has sung background vocals, excellent background vocals, on one of our best songs called Can't Wait on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But she's very shy and she won't get up in front of people.
Maybe someday
she'll do it. So, but she also helps me with everything from copywriting to ISRC numbers to the covers to the credits. Takes pictures for the album covers.
Covers are great. Yeah, she does. They are fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And she's very artistic and she's got a wonderful ear for music. And she can sit there and critique us in the... We look to her in the studio. She'll be there in the studio, and we will say, what do you think, Michelle? And she's pretty good.
She has no problem calling bullshit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. She's a quiet person, but yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. You know, and then I want to thank my friend Mike Norris from Boston, who was in my high school band, who played on Gravel Road and a few other songs for me. Excellent, excellent guitarist. One of my closest friends, just an excellent guy. A shout out to him. A shout out, obviously, to Jason Brown for doing some of my mastering and playing bass on some of my records before. Jack Andino for actually messing with a band like ours and giving us just a little something. It's great working with someone like that actually approves of what you're doing.
Right.
You know, it means a lot to me. Yeah, and then just the people in general that are out there that listen to our music.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
I mean, you know, I know we're a throwback to the 90s, or I might be a throwback to the 70s.
But
people seem to like it, you know, a little bit. It's rock and roll, and we thank everybody for listening to it. So,
appreciate
and thank
it.
You. Thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. I was going to thank you for having us on. That's wonderful. Also... I'm married too, so my wife and I met at college actually, and she moved out to Providence, Rhode Island with my first band and I, and helped us split the rent five ways instead of just four, and has endured some real garbage for a long time, like the 2000s onward. So mm-hmm. That's been great, and sounds a little bit childish maybe, but my parents, when I came back to the Glens Falls area where I grew up, after some stuff didn't work out the way I thought with the Providence band, I was like, look, I'd really like to open a studio. And they happened to be renovating an old flower shop where I had bought my prom flowers.
and it was just a rundown shack, and they're trying to just make a little income property out of it. And my mother's like, absolutely not. And my father's like, well, I mean, what can you afford to pay? You know? Yeah, but you know, they bothered to listen to my plea, and you know, that was in 2006 or so, and you know, in 2007 we opened, and it's getting up near 20 years, and who can have a recording studio that long these days, you know? So that was taking a chance, and I appreciate that.
All right. So they are the William Duel Band. I am Andy Scullin. This is Unsigned 518. I'll see you on the road. Unsigned 518 is produced and hosted by me, Andy Scullin. New episodes are available every week wherever you stream podcasts. If you'd like to help support the show, please like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Or you could buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/unsigned518. If you would like to advertise on the show, send me an email at unsigned518@gmail.com. And to be a guest on the show, reach out to me through Instagram at unsigned518. Take care of one another, and I'll see you next week.